Emily Liddow.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We are going to talk about the 2018 Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge. And I am pretty pumped.
Why?
Because we spend so much time talking about media representation on this podcast and how to authentically represent disability in the media. And now today we're actually going to talk with somebody who puts his money where his mouth is. It's pretty cool.
Are you saying we have a guest?
I'm saying we have a guest. Yes, we do.
Emily, you got to tell me about these things. But anyway, who is
Surprise!
It?
Surprise! So our special guest is Nick Novicki. And Nick, I will turn it over to you to introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I am Nick Novicki. I am an actor, comedian, producer. Also happens to be a little person. Which motivated me to found the Easter Seals Disability Film Challenge, which is a weekend film competition where people make a 3 to 5 minute film over the course of a weekend, which has somebody with a disability in front of or behind the camera.
Sounds pretty cool. I don't want to use the I word on our show, but what what inspired you to start this?
Yeah. So, well, as I said, you know, I'm a little person, so I'm 3'10". I started doing stand up, you know, my first week of college when I was 19, was acting, all the while I was in school. You know, I went to business school, so it kind of took a little bit of a left turn, in career choices of entertainment. But I just continued pursuing stand up and acting. And, you know, I was lucky that I got pretty early on a couple breaks and, you know, being on The Sopranos, being on a couple, you know, pretty high profile TV shows and film projects. But with that being said, I'm 3'10". So my opportunities were limited in a lot of ways to play the kind of roles that I wanted to play that made me want to be an actor. So I began creating my own content. Short films, web series, ways where I could be like the romantic lead or the gangster or whatever I wanted to play. And I realized that I had kind of a skill for producing my own content. And really, it just empowered me. I just felt like it was such an amazing experience to be able to play whatever kind of role I wanted to rather than to wait for traditional film and TV auditions to come in. And so it became a passion for me to just create my own content and to keep going forward. And it's led to a lot of work for me. So 5 years ago, I was like, why aren't more people with disabilities creating our own content? As I'm sure I'm preaching to a choir here that you and all your listeners know. But as people with disabilities, we represent 20% of the population.
Oh, we love that statistic.
It's our favorite thing to say on the show.
I actually have it branded on my forehead, so that helps. But we are part of that 20%, you Absolutely. Know, and we don't get our fair share of representation. And I think, you know, I've been on every kind of diversity committee from, you know, as an actor, as a producer. And, you know, really, I hear and I know that a lot of people want change, but I just came up with this idea for this weekend film competition where you just need one person with a disability in front of or behind the camera. We got these amazing incentives. And so really, it was my own experiences. This is the longest answer for like what inspired you.
No, it was
my own experiences that really
super into this answer, honestly. And I have 8 million questions, approximately, but I think the first one, you mentioned that it has to be someone with a disability in front of or behind the camera, and I feel like we're always so busy as a community talking about, like, we need disabled people on camera and we need to be on film, but there's also merit to being behind the camera, too. So can you Absolutely. Talk about that a little bit more and why you incorporate that into the requirements and not just must have a disabled actor?
Yeah, no, exactly. So I mean, as somebody who's a producer myself, so I started to produce out of necessity because I wanted to play the kind of roles I wanted to play as an actor, which is the same thing that got me into writing. And then those became sort of separate careers in a sense. And I looked around, I was like, why aren't more people with disabilities on the other side of the camera too? I mean, we're, you know, the percentages are what they are in terms of representation in front of the camera, less than 2% for 20% of the population. I think the numbers are probably even a lot lower behind the camera, which is crazy to me because as people with disabilities, there's no reason why we can't be script supervisors, editors, assistant directors. I mean, really, other than being a grip and carrying, you know, 600-pound equipment, you know, we can do so much. And I think really once you get in, especially as the writing and directing or editing, I mean, you're really just as involved, if not more, in the decision making and the process of getting art out there.
Well, challenge accepted. And now I'm totally going to jerry rig my power wheelchair to carry 600-pound equipment so I can be a grip.
I'm glad we have that recorded so I can hold her to that.
Uh-oh.
I want to be part of that challenge where I'm just like, hey, I just randomly have this heavy, it's not even my couch, but can we hook this to the back of your...
I could see that going really well and making great content for YouTube or going terribly and breaking my wheelchair.
And still making great content for YouTube.
Yeah. Either way, it sounds like it would get a lot of hits.
That's it. That's our film challenge idea right there. Part one.
Carrying a couch in a wheelchair. Gonna win an Oscar. Yeah.
Exactly. So how does the film challenge actually work?
So this is kind of the, you know, aside from there needing to be one person with a disability in front of or behind the camera, you, if you want to enter the film challenge, what you have to do is... register. So you'll go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com. Our registration ends on April 11th.
We're going to put all the links in our description for you. Not to cut you off. Just wanted to let you know people will have a way to find it.
Please. And if you have any questions and you're like, I don't want to listen to you talk for 4 hours, you can reach anytime. And I'll, you know, reach out anytime. Go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com. There's info at Disability Film Challenge, and I will respond to you. That'll get forwarded to me, and I will definitely – I'm very responsive on social media. But in order for you to register, you have to go in, and you will go to disabilityfilmchallenge.com, hit the Register Now button. You're going to get sent over to Film Freeway. And basically from there, you will sign up for a new project. So you'll create a new project or add a new project and you'll be officially registered for the film challenge. You'll pay your registration fee. We have all kinds of promo discounts, SAG-AFTRA discounts, you know, student discounts. So reach out or let us know if you're wondering if you would fall into a category that may be at a discount. But so basically once you're registered for the film challenge, which our registration ends on April 11th, now, typically, you wouldn't hear from us until the morning of the first day of the challenge. So that Friday morning, we close the registrations off on the Wednesday. And then Friday morning, you're going to get an email with the assignment, which includes the genre, themes you have to incorporate, props, and locations that need to be incorporated into your 3 to 5 minute film so that we know that your film was done over the course of a weekend. Now, this year, we're actually giving 2 extra days for you to start working on your theme and your location. So we are going to announce those. And I believe this is actually the first time we're announcing that. So this is an exclusive little plug on the podcast about these exciting new extra days to start thinking about your projects. So but the end of it is, look, you have your 55 hours to write, shoot, edit, and submit a 3 to 5 minute film that has, you know, somebody with a disability in front of or behind the camera. And we have different categories for our winners. We have best film, which is sort of like the Academy Award for, you know, best picture, Best Filmmaker, which is like the Best Director award, and Best Actor. And that's pretty self-explanatory. But beyond that, we also have an awareness competition. So after the film challenge takes place, it ends because all your films are due on Sunday night, Pacific Standard Time. So you'll have those 55 hours to write, shoot, edit, and submit your film. Then we take all of those films and we get them professionally captioned through 3Play Media, which is an amazing company that is able to provide captions so our deaf community can, you know, listen and be a part of all these films. And then we put all the films up on our Facebook page and our YouTube page. And then 3 days later, once we have everything professionally captioned, the awareness award competition begins. And that is a 2-week competition that starts on the Wednesday after the challenge and ending 2 weeks later. And during that competition, each individual team has 2 weeks to get the most likes, shares, views, and press for their films. And the cool thing about it is that really goes along with our message to really change the way the world views and defines disability, because they're going to be able to see people in unique circumstances and also just see disability films where, you know, frankly, the storylines aren't about disability. It just happens to be somebody in a wheelchair or somebody that's a little person.
I mean, I kind of think you need that, though, because part of acceptance is not having the whole plot revolve around your existence. Also, as two people who don't know much or anything about films other than how to watch them, 55 hours doesn't seem like nearly enough time to make anything. Like, I just that in itself is so crazy to me. Like,
it's nuts. I mean, I've done these before myself. I've done numerous film challenges and you know, really as a writer, you know, I know, Emily, you're, you know, such a prolific writer. I mean, when you have a deadline, you know, it forces you to get stuff out. And I think at sometimes you're like, whoa, you're kind of more blown away and like impressed by what you ended up with a finished product, when you have a very short time frame, because it sort of takes away your fear or you overthinking things, because it forces you to get everything done in a certain period of time. And I think specifically for a disability film initiative, it's great because you're not asking people to volunteer months of their time. Now, typically, people will work on a short film. Sometimes they work for half a year. I mean, for something that there's no chance of money really coming from it, you know?
Well, and it also adds a lot of drama, too. I mean, having that really short time period. Yeah. When you said, you know, about deadlines and writing, I relate to that so much because I once pitched an article on the story of, I want to say it was like, Kylie Jenner posing in a wheelchair.
Oh my God, with her golden Kylie wheelchair Jenner thing.
And so I pitched a story about it and I was all riled up about it. And then my story got accepted and I was like, oh my God, I now have like 12 hours to turn this story around.
And, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I think that's, you know, really as an artist, you know, as a writer, as a director, as an actor, I mean, there's a certain sense of adrenaline that kicks in, you know, and really, I think that's why we've seen so many people continue to work together outside of this weekend, is because you become part of almost like a family where you guys are, you know, you're working together. You're like, who's getting the food? Who's going to make the eggs? Who's going to, you know, I need to deliver this paperwork. I need you to sign this release. You know, we have our location only for an hour, so we got to really get everything done. And I mean, I think it's the same thing with your piece. I mean, you know, that same, you know, sometimes that could take you weeks or, you know, or I don't know. I mean, you know, way better than me from that side.
Oh,
of,
I
you know,
absolutely
writing,
work better,
you know, but
on deadlines and under a little bit of pressure. I think that it helps immensely. Yeah. But also, I mean, I'm not writing for a competition. And so I think that this really ups the stakes having it be a competition format. And then also shows that disabled people can be part of these same types of pressures in producing media as everybody else, because I know that media production is a high stakes field. Yeah. And so I think there's often this doubt that a person with a disability is capable of taking part in such a high stakes, high adrenaline, yes, fast paced world. And I really see this as negating that stereotype.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what's interesting is in a lot of ways, it's set up similar to TV. When you're working on a TV show, you know, each episode's shot in a week. So if you're a writer, you have like a day to turn in a new, like, giant, not a 3 to 5 page script, but like a, you know, you'll have almost a day to do a full draft of, you know, an episode, because if you're on a weekly schedule. And the same thing with actors, you know, you're getting scripts the night before, complete new changes. So, I mean, the hardest thing, and I think the biggest drawback in general for people with disabilities, I know for myself as an artist, is when you're not getting enough at bats, you don't have enough experience. You know, as a little person or as a disabled actor, you're going up against the non-disabled actors that are auditioning, you know, 3 times a day. And if you're getting an audition, you know, once every 2 months, you're not going to be as loose or, you know, ready for it. But I think this, you know, gives you more experience of professional experience and what it's really like, honestly, working in TV.
We're both processing this right now because we're really into it.
Yeah, no, it sounds like an episode of Chopped almost.
It, you know, it really ends up becoming that sometimes. It's what's so crazy is, like, you know, I'll get these emails and I'll phone calls and these things that are just, I mean, it has such an amazing impact on people. I think that's really the biggest surprise that's come from the film challenge. Honestly, when I first came up with it, I was like, I want to see some awesome films that feature people with disabilities and, you know, that really get disability out there. And I think it'd be a great way for one weekend for this to happen. But I really had no idea the snowball effect that would come from it, or just what an impact it would have on different people. Like, I'll get these emails from people that are like, it changed my life. And I've just, you know, things where you're like, wow. And yeah, I mean, there is a certain element of Chops where people are like, oh, you know, you'll get like panic emails or phone calls with like really questions. And, you know, for me, I'm not a judge. You know, I'm just there to help people. And, you know, I've been there in every pretty much aspect of the film and TV business, in terms of, like, you know, working in front of the camera, behind the camera, literally from picking up trash on film sets to acting, to directing, to producing, to writing. So, you know, really doing everything other than editing. So I can relate to people. But yeah, it can be a little high stakes, high pressure. But with that being said, too, the interesting thing is that with all of the stakes and all of the pressure that's in with the film challenge, I don't think there's ever been as supportive of a community. I mean, there are people, like, we'll have people trying to help other teams. So now they're in competition. I mean, we have some serious prizes this year. The winners are going to get mentored by Universal Pictures executives, Dell Computers, Adobe, you know, packages, a creative suite, Nike gift bags, a meeting at CBS. So these are real, like, game changer type things. I mean, a screening at Bentonville Film Festival.
About that.
But
so the high stakes certainly motivates people to participate. Now, I'm wondering, mm-hmm, how do we make this kind of representation happen without all of these stakes attached to it? Because the one thing that I always think about is, how do we take an amazing project and apply it to the rest of mainstream media. And I know that a lot of these prizes that people are winning have that exact intention to connect the film producers, directors, actors, creators, scriptwriters, etc., with mainstream outlets. But how do we get that same type of recognition and camaraderie and support for disability representation happening all the time and not just in a weekend challenge? What's the next step?
It's a $1 million question, well, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest step is for people just to continue doing the work. So I don't think there is a certain pressure cooker involved in it, and the incentives really help get people to sign up. But I think they really get more people to sign up for the first time than every year. I mean, we get people, we it's like an addiction. People enter the challenge and they all year round are like ready for the next challenge. I mean, they could be doing projects all year round, and some of them do. But the biggest thing is that they're getting experience and they're getting their teams. The biggest asset is who your network is, in terms of like if you're going to be able to continue to do your next projects, can you put together a web series? And we've had those come from the Film Challenge. And I always tell people and I always encourage people to like keep going all year round and just continue to because the biggest issue is that it's just a lack of experience is what the big hurdle is, honestly, for our community, that we need, to get into some of these things, their programs at the major networks and studios, these diversity initiatives. You know, we're competing against other diverse groups or just, for some of these programs,
you know,
with people
like
that are working all the time and have more experience.
That Kyle will feel the same way. We talk a lot about picking your battles and also about how people tend to exist inside this disability bubble or this vacuum of disability. And quite frankly, I think that when it comes to talking about media representation, what ends up happening is that people get very worked up about it, but don't take that next step necessarily. Whereas with you, not only did you take the next step, but you're now fostering a program that encourages as many people as possible to take that next step. And I love what you said about doing the work.
Yeah, and it's funny because we felt that when we made this podcast too. Like, why isn't anyone talking about this? And that turned into, why don't we talk about this?
Yeah,
and that's how it all got started. So it's like totally.
And you're amplifying, the community. I mean, they're listening to you giving, and in a sense, you're giving yourselves a platform, but beyond that,
Emily, you've written
for every major, article. I mean, you've done the work too. Well, I don't know.
She's modest. She's written for everybody.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm saying but then being able to have somebody from Nebraska that's like, well, how do I do things? And, being able to have a voice for people to hear. I think the big thing is we want to see ourselves and hear ourselves. And it's fun to, be related to, just as a random side, my wife is a little person, too. And I was at some event, an inclusion event, and somebody in a wheelchair was like a development exec for Netflix. And I like followed her in the elevator and I was like, my wife works in development for Mattel. You guys should become friends. It just happened yesterday.
I followed Tabby
Duckworth. The elevator pitch is a literal thing.
Into a freight elevator once. Oops. But honestly, I think that embodies what we need to be doing. And I recognize being out there so much is not always accessible to everyone with a disability at all times. But I just think there are so many ways to put yourself in the mix of people who are really working towards representation rather than just complaining about it on Twitter.
Well, but I agree 100%. And that's what I like, you know, about you guys is you really are, you know, going that same, you know, like, look, we're doing our podcast, we're writing, we're doing this, we're, you know, we want to keep, you know, being proactive in things. But I think really that's going to be the next, you know, biggest step for us as a disability community is for us to utilize, you know, DSLR cameras, iPhones, basic editing equipment on our own computers. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have your voice be heard from Nebraska or Iowa or, you know, North Dakota. You know, you could be part of the conversation, yeah, and you know, it's challenging to find your audience, but I think it's challenging for everybody. We talked a
lot about the challenge, but in terms of your personal perspectives, because I'm really interested to hear, not only does representation require having, you know, disabled people both in front of and behind the camera, but I think it also requires an accurate portrayal of the disability experience. And I'm sure you probably know where I'm going with this. How do you feel about non-disabled actors portraying disability? And then I guess on the flip yeah. side of that question, how do you feel about your own career? Do you feel that you have been pigeonholed at all into playing certain roles because of your stature and your disability? Because I know you mentioned that, you know, you can play the romantic lead and you can play the gangster and things like that when you're in charge. But what happens when you're not in charge and we go back into the real world for a minute and think about all the ways in which Hollywood is representing yeah. disability?
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. I think when you have somebody with a disability, you know, that is portraying their own disability on screen, it's going to be more authentic. I mean, there's no way around it. I think sometimes, you know, and I think that even comes sometimes, you know, when people write for disability characters, they will like overthink so much. Or I've honestly had, you know, discussions with writers and TV and stuff where I'm like, look, how much of the script could possibly be about me not being able to reach things in my house? Like, this is like crazy. Like, you adapt to things pretty quick. It's like, you know, hey, can you reach that for me? Or, you know, and I think really, I think the biggest issue for me is when you have somebody, you know, playing a little person or a person in a wheelchair that's really like further down on the cast list. You know, so they're not really selling the movie. It's not Harrison Ford that's going to be, you know, bringing purchasing power for overseas markets. But the fourth lead, you know, is a wheelchair actor, and you can't have a, you know, wheelchair actor play that role. It's got to go to somebody who's not even really that famous. Like, that to me is just, you know, them not giving enough of a break to people with disabilities. And I think really, I mean, part of it is us as an audience. We're 20% of the population. So we got to go out to the theaters. We got to, when we do show authentic portrayals, we got to figure out how to like mobilize and go, hey, we are getting behind this. And I think as a whole, the community seems to have really done that around Speechless, which is awesome, you know. But for myself, I've also, you know, I can't lie. I mean, sure, I've find, you know, even it's a constant battle where you're like, I just don't want to play this type of role. I don't want to play that type of role. And to me, I have my own kind of set of morality of, do I find this interesting? Is this the kind of thing that I really don't want to do? And then I turn it down. Or is this, to me, is this fun? Is there something about this role that I can bring, you know, something special to it, or myself to it, or, you know, can I alter it? But yeah, I think there are times that I would have loved just me as an actor to just go in and just go for a regular role where I'm like banker number six, rather than like it be a whole crazy story about like the first time a lady ever dated a little person, or the, you know, this is happening with the kid and the kid is little, or, you know, like I've played, you know, somebody having a kid that wanted somebody with a little person. I played somebody that, you know, a mother kind of scenario, and they were all great, you know, but I think just again, you know, sometimes, you know, as people with disabilities, specifically as actors, we just want to play regular people, interesting three-dimensional characters.
I think Peter Dinklage just had a part like that in that movie Three Billboards Outside of Ebbing, Missouri. He was just a guy.
Yeah.
Like he was just some guy.
I mean, he's really, I mean, you're talking about somebody who's, you know, I don't think, you know, roles aren't written for a little person anymore for Peter. They're written for just, you know, an interesting person from that works at a bank who is a ladies' man or has a hard time being, you know, with ladies. Like it's not specific about his height anymore. I mean, he's proven himself that he's, you know, really, frankly, if not adequate or at the same level as everyone else, better. I mean, with his awards, with his performances, I mean, he's a tour de force, you know, and I worked on a play that I was in the play after him. But he was a part of this show called Mabu Mind's Dollhouse, which was really probably one of the most amazing creative experiences for myself. It was a show, an Ibsen play that's all about belittling women, and it was little people, and we played all the male characters. And so we never addressed our height ever, but it was, you know, just kind of symbolic about us belittling women. And he started that role. And it toured for about 10 years, going into national theaters all over the world. But he was really just amazing, such an amazing actor. And just hearing story after story about how great he is as an artist. I mean, it's just, it's inspiring.
So, see, and I know Kyle joked at the beginning, like, we don't want to use the I word inspiring. But I feel like, you know, people like you give us reason to be inspired in the right way, you know, inspired in a hopeful sense, and also feeling like it is possible to promote change in what can sometimes feel like kind of a stagnant industry when it comes to diversifying.
Yeah.
And so I'm inspired in the best possible way,
yeah,
talking to you about this,
yeah,
because there's so much potential here, and I'm literally sitting here like thinking about how can I be a part of the film challenge? How can I even possibly do this?
Enter. Let's get you on the podcast. Officially entering the. Come on, we got.
Now there's pressure on us
right here.
No, but I mean, you know, I think Emily's right. Like, and all that, and plus you put your money where your mouth is, which is like, that's something we admire. Well, you know, it's.
Well, I'll use the I word and say that honestly, the community I feel like inspires me. And really, specifically the people in the films that do these films, you know, it makes me like, gosh, that's a great story. Or man, I got to write my own thing, or I got to do this. Or, you know, you start getting really, you know, the cool thing is that we get to see people of all different disabilities entered, and everybody has a different interpretation of what the genre or the theme is. And some people, you know, we get all different levels of filmmakers. We'll get people that are, you know, USC graduates that are like professional filmmakers that have, you know, production companies that do commercials and music videos, and they do this professionally. And then we'll get a family where they'll have somebody with like their son has Down syndrome. We have a family that enters every year, and it's a family project for them. And the kid is so like cute and amazing, and they just do it, you know.
That's
tell
adorable,
these
adorable, but not in the condescending way. Like, I love that it's he's
a kid. I mean, and I would say he's cute if he didn't have Down syndrome. If he was, you know, he's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm actually going to be talking at his school. He got bullied. So I'm going to his school, to talk for, you know, about him being a part of the film challenge. But the kid is awesome. And what's so cool about the film specifically that the family does every year is they really get personal about, like, their film last year. You know, it wasn't nominated as a finalist, you know, but I thought it was great. And it was all about, it was called The Saint. And it was all about how everyone thinks that he is like a saint or an angel, you know, and they're kind of like, no, he's not. He's stopped calling him a, you know, he's not perfect. He's not this. And really, so it allows certain people to kind of tell their point of view and, you know, let their inner, you know, stuff come out. And it's not, you know, and that's a specific about, you know, their experience dealing with their son or, you know, their family, you know, their sister. But, you know, it's just interesting that we get to see such a wide variety of films and in the interpretations of it. Some are, you know, more heartfelt. Some are just like raunchy and funny. And, you know, the only caveat is that everything has to be something that you could watch on like network TV. So you can't be like HBO, like nudity and, you know, that kind of stuff. Because we want ultimately to get more sponsors, honestly, and get more, you know, big production companies and studios to get behind this and not only get behind this, but get behind disability. Because if they feature it on their platforms and this goes into mainstream media, you know, these films, you know, that's going to lead to more opportunities. And frankly, it's already has left its, you know, opportunities for people to get hired as, you know, actors or writers. Well, more actors, honestly. I mean, we've gotten more actors. We've gotten some directing jobs and a lot of editing jobs have come from it. But it's just inspiring, though, to see like what people can do in a weekend. And especially it's even more inspiring for me. And I keep using the word that you don't want me to use. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's totally fine. I was just being facetious.
I know. I'm kidding.
We just want it to be used for the right reasons.
But it is. Yeah. No, but I'm just like, even it's just cool to like when people get their voice, you know, show their stories that I haven't seen, you know, when I'm, you know, seeing disability on screen for the first time or a story and I'm like, and they can do it in a way where it's not like, it's just honest and unique. It's like inspiring where I'm like, man, I gotta step my own game up on my own projects. You know, you know, you see certain things and you're just like, you know, it's just awesome.
Kyle and I do this thing at the end of every episode where we have final takeaways.
Yeah.
Basically what we want the listener to leave with. And while I'm sure that the A number one thing is register for the film challenge, which I will certainly let you reiterate. Don't want to steal your thunder there. What would your final takeaway be if you had to leave the listeners with one thing?
Yeah. So my one thing would be, okay, you know, register for the film challenge. Honestly, I don't think there's a better, you know, opportunity for someone in the disability or even non-disability world in terms of opportunities to get going in the entertainment industry. And we talk about all these prizes and, you know, that this leads to all these opportunities for people. But really, this is a supportive group. And at the end of your film challenge, you're going to have your own film. And that would be the second takeaway. Get yourself out there. Get disability out there. You know, take your film and submit it. Some of these films have been submitted to 40 film festivals around the world, been flown, you know, to festivals, to Australia, to Europe, you know, go here, go there. Keep going. Keep making your own content. Don't stop on this weekend film challenge. Take your team and continue to go. Make another short. Do a web series. Turn your idea into paper. But my biggest takeaway is set a deadline and keep going. And for those of you that aren't necessarily interested in entering or making your own content, the second takeaway would be support disability in the media. When it's told through an authentic lens, we need more eyeballs. We need more clicks. We need more views on YouTube for these interesting stories. When there's cool op-eds about disability and, you know, and people being vulnerable and really showing authentically their experience, they need more eyeballs. I mean, we're 20% of the population and we need to really amplify each other more and get more involved in everything. that's a positive portrayal of disability.
We're happy to help with that.
Takeaways. Oh, yeah. I was going to say, any takeaways from you, Kyle, although I don't know how you could say anything.
Yeah, I can't top that. I can't top that except for, you know, this guy's really cool and we should have had him on a while ago.
No, I mean, it's an honor, man. You guys are awesome. I loved it. I loved hanging out with you guys in New York.
We didn't even tell the story how the heck you ended up on this podcast and how I... Yeah, but I feel like we should tell that story before we wrap up from Kyle's perspective. Yeah.
From my perspective? Oh, okay. This is my perspective of that. Here we go. So I had an event across the street from where I bumped into you guys. And I
New
was
York Times
meet
building. The, I'm going to brag for you guys.
New York Times building because it's totally fancy. And Emily was my, you know, person to go with because we needed to fill the room. It was a big deal for my job. And then Emily was like, oh, come to the coffee shop. I'm here with some really cool people. And I was like, okay. And that was it. And then Emily was like, this is Nick. This is Kristen. They're from the film festival thing. And we got to do this. And I'm like, okay. So I was ambushed. But I mean that in the best possible way because this is amazing.
And, yeah, we're doing it from across the country.
I have never had a more positive ambush.
The power of making connections.
Oh, isn't that nice? I want a hug.
I would give you one, but I'm a bit too far away.
And it was for me, it was awesome to like, I'm from New Haven, Connecticut. So I live in Los Angeles now, but that's where I'm an East Coaster by blood, by comedy. And so we had this meeting, you know, I was there with people from CKND, Kristen, you know, who is amazing. And, you know, we were having some meetings regarding our from Easter Seal, Southern California, where I'm on the board. We were, you know, meeting about some Easter Seal stuff and, you know, trying to get more people from the film challenge. She had told me about you. I already knew everything about you. I'd read your articles. I was a fan. I was like, yes, this is awesome. You know, so we go in and meet, but it was a great like East Coast thing. Cause it's like, you know, right next to Port Authority, like a coffee shop, you get some like good New Yorkers, like people coming in that want like a coffee, like AKA, can I use the bathroom? You know, you get some of those kind of.
It was a very New York-y experience. Now when you put it that way, yeah, there was pretty. There was some very New York-y.
It was a great New York experience. You know,
Possible turnout.
It was, and then right after you guys left, I ran into Christine Bruno. You know, from Inclusion of the Arts, and you know, somebody else
for media representation. So. Anyway, I feel like we should tell the story of how the heck you even ended up on the show in the first place for those people who have stuck with us. And on that note, I feel like we can totally wrap this show up. And thank you so much for being with us, Nick. This was amazing. And I feel empowered to go out and do stuff now. So I'm really, really grateful. So... All right. Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. You guys are the best.
We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.